He is a nationally syndicated radio talk show host and columnist. You can hear him here every day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. He is also the co-founder of Prager University. It's an honor to welcome Dennis Prager to the Liberty Hour. Dennis, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Anything with the word liberty, I'm a sucker for.
That is awesome. So, you know, we're going to try to solve the world's problems here in a couple minutes, and I know your body of work is immense, so I like to take a macro approach, and a lot of your talks go that way. And you've long been talking about the attack on America, its Judeo-Christian values, its principles of individualism and freedom. But even you must be surprised by how fast we've fallen in the last 3 to 5 years. I mean, I guess you could say in the last 3 months. So what do you think is the cause of this acceleration?
I'm not that surprised. I've been writing for decades that we're in a civil war. And I've always said, and thank God, nonviolent, although the violence is increasing on the part of the left. So I'm not, unfortunately, I'm not surprised. For two generations, Americans have been taught to loathe their country. We have undone every major value system that undergirds America. Oddly enough, the only thing I could say that has surprised me, although not shocked me, just I didn't realize how deep it had become, is we sing that we're the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I knew that our freedom was being compromised at such a rate that one can no longer fully say that, but the home of the brave has really become inaccurate. The cowardice that has overtaken America since the 1950s and 60s. 1969, there was a virus that killed the equivalent of about 160,000 Americans. Not one thing was shut down. Americans didn't wear masks. Americans understood that there were tragedies in life and that viruses are part of the tragedy. And they didn't believe that it is moral to destroy the economy of the world, let alone America, because there was a virus. So the teachers that refuse to teach because they're writing their obituaries are models of cowardice to their students. I would not have my child study under a teacher who said, I didn't sign up to be a martyr. I signed up to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. They're unworthy of teaching my child.
Right. Well, I'm never surprised by anything that the left does, but I will say the only thing that surprises me is how quickly that house of cards collapsed. That would be liberals, independents, and average American people who just threw their hands up and said, okay. You know, I knew the left would do anything. I didn't think everybody would just be like, well, they said it, so right. So that's fine. And I, like you, for a better part of a decade, for me, I've been screaming the culture. I moved to Chicago, and I went to every conservative I could find and every Republican and went to every meeting and said, you have to start talking about the culture. And I think that, you know, what the left did that was brilliant, it's evil and sinister, but brilliant, is they started decades ago focusing on the culture, figuring if we shift the way people thought, then we can ease stuff in and it would be okay. And I think that, you know, they made it a priority. The conservatives mostly ignored it. You know, we had a blur, you know, things that popped up in the last couple of decades, the Murphy Brown thing, gay marriage. But for the most part, Republicans, it's shocking to me, but they thought that, you know, if I promote good policy, we'll win out. We got the better ideas and hooray. So where do you think the Republicans lie in this, and how much blame would you lay at their feet?
Well, for much of the last, well, really much of my adult life, I have put it this way. We're in a civil war, but only one side is fighting.
Oh. Right.
That's been sort of one of my mottos. And there are some who fight. Ted Cruz fights. Lindsey Graham fought in with the Brett Kavanaugh hearing. He was awesome. the president fights, but the average Republican, this is not an attack, doesn't get it. They don't understand everything is at stake. First of all, the average Republican politician, like the average Democrat, is in politics to be in politics. Mm-hmm. It's not an attack either. It's just a statement of fact. Right. People go into politics. Some people go into welding. Some people go into law. Some people go into politics. It's fun. It's interesting. You get attention. It's got a lot of perks. A handful of people go in it for the right reason, because they have a mission, and their mission is not to be reelected. Their mission is to save this country against the leftists. And I always distinguish between leftists and liberals. Liberals are weak, but leftists are doing evil.
Right.
And they don't believe in what I call the American Trinity. I didn't make it up. I made up the term, but I didn't make up the components. They're on every coin: liberty and God we trust, e pluribus unum. And the left can't stand God-based Judeo-Christian values. They can't stand e pluribus unum. They don't believe from anyone. They believe from many, many. And they don't believe in liberty. They believe in equality. And not, I don't mean equality of the opportunity or equality.
Outcome, everything.
Outcome, right, which is the French Revolution, not the American Revolution. It's the Russian Revolution, not the American Revolution.
Right. And you just gave me a perfect segue to your book, The Rational Bible, Exodus and Genesis. And for those who say I'm saying it out of order, you know, Dennis released the books in that order, and he explains why. And they are powerful and important. And I love what you're doing. And my question is, I took two things from it. I want to know, one's obvious, but I want to know if both were your intent when doing it. I think that is great because obviously everybody understands the Bible better by reading it. But the two things I took away from what it was doing was it invites atheists, agnostics, other non-believers to apply their rationale to the Bible and its principles. And it helps people of faith understand the importance of arguing their positions and the beliefs that they hold true because of their faith in ways that secularists can understand it. Because too many people, you know, of the evangelicals would say, you know, I believe this because the Bible says, not understanding that, that may be true. But if you're arguing with somebody and say, well, I don't believe that, and I think it's a fairy tale, what are you going to do? Pick up your Bible and walk away? You know, often you ask people who know about PragerU what their favorite video is, and I've seen them all, and I still have to say your abortion video because you did both in that video. So were both of those your plans of attack when doing the Rational Bible?
I must say, very few people have interviewed me and have gotten me as clearly as you do. I'm very touched. It's called the Rational Bible because I only use reason. The argument of that's what the Bible says is very convincing to people who believe in the Bible, and is completely unconvincing to people who don't. So I never say that. What I say is I will make a rational case for the Bible's greatness. And, you know, you don't really need much of a case when you watch gangs of kids looting stores. You realize if they believed just in the Ten Commandments, I'm a very big Ten Commandments fan. Mm-hmm. I think that that's almost enough. If people simply believe that there was the Creator gave us Ten Commandments to live by, the world would be a beautiful place. They don't believe that God said, "Do not steal."
I got 30 seconds here. Can I steal two more minutes for you on the other side?
Yep.
That is awesome. We're talking to Dennis Prager, nationally syndicated radio host and author, columnist, and co-founder of PragerU. Stick with us with more with Dennis. You're listening to The Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
This is The Liberty Hour. Here's your host, Sean Thompson, on AM 560, The Answer. Everybody
knows that the day. Welcome back to The Liberty Hour. I am your host, Charles Love, and trying to solve the world's problems, or at least the country's problem, with nationally syndicated radio host and author, Dennis Prager. Thanks for staying on the line, Dennis. I appreciate it. because I like to, I'm a solutions guy, and I like to end every segment with solutions. So I had one more question, and then I wanted to talk about what do we do. But I want to go back to, when I don't know if you remember, but when we first spoke, you made fun of me. I was on the back of a bus with my son in New York, and we were talking about an event I was trying to bring you in on. And you said, what am I doing there? And I said, I just moved here from Chicago. You said, why? And we were talking about education and obviously the summit we're doing to point out all the problems that we face there in education. We have a couple more now. COVID is obviously shedding some lights on some things. And I've always said my belief is that education is the hill conservatives should die on. And I don't think that they're doing enough there. The only thing they ever say when they talk about it is school choice, which I'm a proponent of. But as the culture shifts to the left, we're going to be so focused on the school choice with a head down trying to fight that fight. We're going to win and realize these poor children are going to get vouchers to private schools that are shiny and clean looking, but are teaching the same garbage as the other schools. I mean, there are private schools that are doing the same thing with COVID and closing and that kind of thing and the terrible 1619 project. So I want to know, do you believe that that is one of the ways that that is probably the most important thing that we can focus on, especially since all these millennials who are spewing this garbage, is because we allowed them to be indoctrinated from one side?
You're terrific. The notion of school choice when your choices are all crappy is pretty irrelevant, isn't it?
It's pretty irrelevant.
So you can now choose a school with better computers, smaller classes, better paid teachers, teaching you why America is despicable and why Judeo-Christian values are irrelevant. And parents are, and Republicans, I should say, are going to die on that hill. You summarized it beautifully. That's right now the only thing that exists that's worthwhile that can actually be called education are a handful of schools that actually teach that believe in the concept of truth, that teach that the exceptionalism of America lies in its values, mm-hmm. and otherwise the only answer right now, except for those handful of schools, and most religious schools fail this test, by the way, abysmally. They're Christian or Jewish only in name. In content, they might as well just be a secular left-wing institution.
100%.
So in Jewish schools, you'll get leftism with a picture of the Torah, and in Christian schools, leftism with a lot of talk about Jesus. But it's irrelevant. So the... What you have is now, for most people, the most realistic choice. And I say this with sadness because it's a big challenge, especially in the beginning, is homeschooling.
Homeschooling.
As Bill Bennett's son who went to Princeton said, he learned more at PragerU than he did at Princeton. And they're free. And our videos are free.
Right.
And we had one quarter of the number then that we have today. And I'm not, this is not to promote PragerU, it's just to give examples of which PragerU is but one, mm-hmm. of the awesome videos and syllabuses or syllabi that are available to parents to teach their children. Plus, they don't get cynical, and they don't have their innocence robbed, which is now the intent. It's actually the intent of schools to rob children's innocence. They have a drag queen story hour now for kids who were 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know if you saw this story, but they have some schools that are trying to keep, now that we're going to remote, trying to keep the parents from watching what's going on. Because how dare you see what your kids are doing?
Yes, sir. And you know why? Because they are cowards. Mm-hmm. I taught high school. I taught college. And I remember when I taught college in the 1970s, I was a kid teaching kids, basically. But I was a college teacher. And the kids would come over very sweetly and said, can we record your class? That was with cassette recorders. And I remember my instinctive reaction was, why on God's earth would the answer be no?
Oh, right.
I hope they play. Why would I only want what I say to be in a classroom?
Right.
But these high school teachers know. They know they're not teaching.
Right. And the other important thing, too, is also
proud of their work. They have nothing to be proud of. They are indoctrinating. And God forbid the parents should see the garbage that they are spewing in those mm-hmm. classrooms. Otherwise, they would be proud to have parents hear right. them. Isn't that correct?
100%. And that's the other thing, too. The way you win these arguments are having, well, I don't know about now because we've gone off the crazy rails. But in a normal situation is by having the conversation, hearing both sides and letting people hear the other side. But you never get to hear the other side. One of the things that, you know, I'm having Nick Searcy up right after you. This is a wonderful album, I'm telling you. And he told me that you and I got a clip of the trailer that you're in that new documentary. And it made me think of No Safe Spaces. And I was one of those people that yell at the movie screen at the scene. It was all great. But at the scene where you went to Morehouse and you're talking to those kids and they were really educated and they were making some good points. And then they said, yeah, but you don't understand, right? Because we already start enough difference because your ancestors were this, your own ancestors own mine. So from the beginning, and I'm screaming, I should have known better, shame on me. I listened to your show long enough. But I'm like, Dennis, if you don't tell them about your ancestors, please don't let that lie. You know, I'm just like, there's no way. I mean, but it just proved that they don't understand history, right? They assume everybody who's not black came here in 1619. I use that because of the terrible project that we're fighting against. But if we can get those ideas and real history in front of people, at some point, those 12-year-olds are going to become 30-year-olds, right? And because we didn't do it, now they're, you know, writing legislation. They're attorneys. And I just think that there's a void there. So what do we do going forward? We got like a minute here. What do we do? How do we fix it?
The first thing is you have to make people aware of the fragility of civilization.
I think they're starting to see it.
I tell fellow Jews, most of whom are on the left, how spectacularly suicidal their support of the left is. Because whenever civilization breaks down, the Jews get killed. And the left has always loathed Jews, just as they have loathed, basically, they have loathed humanity. They love power, but that's all that they love. But American civilization was built in hundreds of years, and it could be destroyed in two generations, as we are now seeing in Portland, in Chicago, in Seattle, in New York, and frankly, in most parts of the country. And yet people walk around thinking, oh, Donald Trump is the problem, not the left, which proves God. Someone said many years ago, God must love fools. He made a lot of them.
That is totally true. I want to leave you with this because I said if I had a longer conversation, I would call you on this. You're too busy to do anything about it, but I would stick this back in your mind. You've said a couple times over the last 10 or 12 years, you have a good guest on. You're like, man, I keep forgetting. I wish I had time. You always wanted to find a way to connect these callers and connect these black conservatives when they call in or when they have them as guests. Well, you know, when you're ready to make that happen, you know where to find me. It has been an honor. I appreciate you being here. Tell your wife, I love her. She's awesome. And, is there any project or anything else you want to mention before you go? I know the radio show.
Well, I'm glad. People should visit PragerU. It's free.
Awesome.
And they should. There are two other quick things. The Rational Bible gives wisdom, hopefully, on every page from the greatest book ever written. And people should send me an email at DennisPrager.com if they'd like to see Jewish High Holy Day services on the internet. I made spectacular one, a video of all of them, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur for Jews and non-Jews. Send me an email. I'll tell you how to see it.
Well, thank you. There you are, everyone. Dennis Prager, I appreciate you, your time and your wisdom and what you do on your show and at PragerU. I've seen the videos. I donate regularly. When we will connect, obviously, I'll see you in April. And I appreciate you. Thanks for being here.
You're very special. Thank you.
You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
You're terrific.
There you have it, Dennis Prager, 11 a.m., 2 p.m. here in Chicago. Coming up, Nick Searcy to talk about that and more from Hollywood and in the country and how we fix things there. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
You're terrific.